Gospel lesson comes to us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let us listen to the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. As you have heard, the Magi adorn our nativity scenes every year, and today we hear about them traveling far from the east, following the star, to meet the Messiah. They're welcomed people in our Christmas story. They're as welcome as the angels and the shepherds. And we all know they're not Jews, but they're still welcomed in this scene. They're like us, Gentiles, outsiders. But I wonder if we really knew who these men were, would we still welcome them into the Christmas story? Would we accept them as easily into the nativity scene with the Son of God? Now imagine hearing about the Magi as a person from the first century. The Magi weren't royalty. They may have been associated with the royal courts of Persia. However, even that much is uncertain according to scholars. We have dressed these men up to be impressive people from the East, when in fact, Magi were the ancient equivalent of magicians. They were astrologers who tried to interpret present and future events by the alignment of the stars. The Magi, in today's terms, were people who wrote daily horoscopes. They're fun, right? There's no harm in horoscopes, but our Christian friends from the Bible Belt might have a different reaction to horoscopes. The Ten Commandments certainly don't say anywhere you should follow the stars to give you the answers. You shall follow magicians and stargazers to tell you the truth. The Old Testament actually condemns Magi types as idolatrous deceivers to be avoided by godly people. Indeed, not long before the birth of Jesus, a Jewish rabbi wrote this: "He who learns from a Magi is worthy of death." These days, some of us might like checking our horoscopes, but we shouldn't base our trust in them or make major life decisions by them. Possibly knowing more about the Magi, it might surprise us to know God uses these unlikely characters. They definitely wouldn't be accepted during Jesus' time. To locate the Christ child by a star and worship him as a king. During Jesus' time, Magi are as unwelcome in the Christmas story as a leper in a Jewish temple. They're as unwelcome as a tax collector around a dinner table. They're as unwelcome as an adulterous woman in a small town. There's a story. Tears glistened in the eyes of Salvation Army Officer Shaw as he looked at the three men before him. Shaw was a medical missionary who just had arrived in India. It was the turn of the last century. The Salvation Army was taking over the care of the leper colony. But these three lepers had manacles and fetters binding their hands and feet, cutting their diseased flesh. And Captain Shaw turned to the guard and said, "Please unfasten the chains." "It isn't safe," the guard replied. "These men are dangerous criminals as well as lepers." "I'll be responsible. They're suffering enough," Captain Shaw said as he put out his hand and he took the keys. Then he knelt to the ground. He tenderly removed the shackles and treated their bleeding ankles. About 2 weeks later, Captain Shaw had his first misgivings about freeing these criminals. He had to make an overnight trip and dreaded leaving his wife and his child alone. His wife was also a Salvation Army officer whose life was dedicated to God, and she insisted that she wasn't afraid. The next morning, when she went to her front door, she was startled to see these three criminals lying on her steps. Then one explained in broken English, "We know Dr. Go. We stay here so no harm would come to you." This was how dangerous men responded to an act of love. God's revelation in Jesus Christ is supposed to shock us and keep us on our toes. We learn through the Magi that God is king for everybody, for all of us. Essentially, the story foreshadows Christ's ministry, who does accept all. Those from different backgrounds, those from different cultures, religions, financial situations, education, age, sex, or class. It's like a poem I recently read. "Blessed are the weird people, the poets and misfits, the artists, the writers and music makers, the dreamers and the outsiders, for they force us to see the world differently. We follow Jesus Christ and we come here every week and we are taught to be accepting of all. Even in a place where we are supposed to be accepting, it's not always easy for us to do. Yet Paul reminds us in Galatians that in Christ we are all children of God. There is neither Gentile nor Jew, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's exactly who God is, whether it's easy or not. We have to accept people who are different from us because God accepts us. We have to love others no matter how different they are from us because God loves us. The psalm we read today tells us that other nations worship Jesus. How can other nations come to worship Jesus unless they're different? How could God be willing to share the message of Christ without being willing to use their beliefs to find Jesus? And just because we might not accept their beliefs behind the stars to find faith, God found them where they were. They would have never discovered the true God if God wasn't able to come to them where they were. Now, this is the church I want to be part of. And I imagine you want to be part of this kind of church too, one that accepts all people. A church not full of perfect people, but a place full of misfits. People who need a chance to belong, like Captain Shaw's lepers. People who don't belong, the weird people, the dreamers, the outsiders, for they help us see the world differently, the way that God sees it. That's the amazing thing about God. God loves the Magi, magicians, and astrologers from the East, who find Jesus and worship the Son of God by following a star. God even provides the star so they could find Jesus. When they found Christ, they bowed down on their knees and they worshiped him. Jesus' grace is extended for all. God is open and hospitable to all people. God's grace is extended to people like you and me. And in this new year, as we celebrate New Year's resolutions, we also are part of a church, this church. It's a place for all of us. We belong here. Everyone belongs in the loving arms of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.